And our text is verses 13 through 15, but for the sake of context, I'll be reading from verse 6 all the way through verse 15. As a congregation, we've been working our way through the book of 2 Thessalonians, and we find ourselves this morning in chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you have received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Thus the reading of God's word this morning from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. There are some commentators who speculate that 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 13 to 15, is just a continuation of what the Apostle Paul has stated in the previous verses. In chapter 3, verse 6, the Apostle is speaking concerning church discipline, they say. He describes at the end of that verse that what we are to do is keep away from any brother who's walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. Then as you go to verse 14, they comment, these commentators, that there is similar language. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. In other words, all the apostle is doing in verses 13 through 15 is giving further emphasis as to what they are to do, further instruction concerning things he has already written. But if you take a closer look at this passage, you will see that while there are two sections in this passage, and though they are very much related to one another, in these two passages, the Apostle Paul is addressing two different things. In verses 6 through 12, the Apostle Paul is commanding two different sets of people. In verse 6, the Apostle is commanding the brothers. In verse 12, he is commanding those who are dealing with idleness. In verse 6, he speaks to the brothers, commanding them to do a specific thing. And that is to keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness. In verse 12, he now speaks directly to those who are walking in idleness. And he commands them as well. Now such persons, we command and encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. In Thessalonica, we know that there is a problem. The apostle is addressing that problem in verses 6 through 12. That is, there are those who are not working. There are those who are disorderly in their idleness, busybodies involving themselves in other people's business, which is none of their own, and they refuse to work for their food. So as the apostle addresses this issue, the command he gives to the brothers is that they keep away from those walking in idleness. The command to those who are dealing with idleness is to go to work and to work quietly and to earn their own living. But now as we come to verse 13, you see the apostle again returns to the brothers. First, in verse 6, he commands the brothers. We recognize that those who are dealing with idleness are still considered brothers, verse 6. But in verse 12, he speaks specifically to those who are dealing with this specific sin. In verse 13 now, he returns to the brothers. In verse 13, he returns to what he has begun to say in verse 6. As for you, brothers, in other words, those who are not dealing with this idleness, as for you, here's something you must do. What is that? Do not grow weary in doing good. What does he mean by doing good? Or as some of your Bibles translate it, in doing what is right or righteous. What the apostle does in verse 13 is he brings the brothers, the church members, back to something that they must remember as a whole. He brings them back to something that they, as a whole body, must be reminded of. And what is that? That they do not grow weary in doing good. What is doing good? What is doing righteous? It is obeying the commands of the Lord. It is doing what God commands. It is instruction for them concerning how they must live and that they must not grow weary doing that. He sums up in this verse everything he has already said and then includes other things which maybe he has not had said in a general way. In these two letters, the apostle addresses specifically two issues. The one issue we find in the first letter in chapter 4, that is living a life pleasing God in the matter of sexual purity. Within the Thessalonian church, he has heard and recognized that there are problems. They live in a sexually saturated culture. And so in chapter 4 of the first letter, he speaks to them specifically about this. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion and lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. They live in a city amongst people who do not know God. And because they do not know God, they live in a different way. And because they do not know God, they engage in the worship of idols, in the worship of unbiblical practices, including sexual immorality, for which the apostle addresses in the first letter. In the first verses of chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, the apostle addresses a second issue. Again, this issue becomes a cultural problem. There are those in the city of Thessalonica, a very wealthy city, whose perspective on life is, well, you earn enough money, and then you retire and don't have to work anymore and have fun and play. The apostle is speaking to this issue. He is reminding them that God has commanded us in Genesis that if we do not work, we do not eat. He's reminding them of their obligation as a member of God's family to not be a busybody, to not engage in idleness or disorderliness, but that they be productive in some way in serving God or in serving others. Well, in these two specific examples, the apostle has addressed the Thessalonians concerning issues in which their culture may be causing them to grow weary in doing the right thing which God commands. But now as he comes to verse 13, he is summing that up. He is including in his statement not only the two specific issues that he has addressed, but he is addressing whatever other issue may be in their life concerning their growing weary in doing the right thing. The past few days, our session has been meeting with various members concerning house visitation. And as we have been discussing the things of the Lord, one of the areas or some of the areas that have come up are the temptations in the world in which our people live. Many have shared about temptations in the workplace. While working with non-Christians, there are temptations all around. All around, people are using foul language. And the temptation for the believer, because you're surrounded by it all day, is to join or to have those same words come out of your mouth. Paul writes, "As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good." All around you are co-workers who are living in an ungodly way. Whether it is involved in drunkenness, illegitimate relationships they seem to express joy and happiness in, or they're having fun in their sinful life. Sometimes it causes the believer to wonder about right and wrong. Paul says, "Do not grow weary in doing good." Temptations surround us in the culture in which we live. Temptations for children to go to school and to dress and to act like their friends at school who are not believers because everybody at school is doing it. Temptations for people at the workplace to cut corners or to enable yourself to not work as hard as you have to, as co-workers do, getting away with not doing the full job and making more money. Temptations for the believer all around. The apostle says, do not grow weary in doing good. He knows. He knows what it's like to live in a world, in a culture, which does not love God. He knows the temptation, especially in a city like Thessalonica, where you want to be part of the group and you want to fit in and you want to be like everybody else. You don't want to stand up. The temptation is not to stand up and say, no, I don't do that because I love God and because I know what's right, because I have the Ten Commandments and the Scriptures. The temptation is to grow weary in doing God's will. But the apostle, you notice in these verses, in these sum up verses, does not stop there in verse 13. He goes on to instruct the church members how they must deal with a brother who may be growing weary in dealing good, in doing good. Verse 14, if anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of this person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Now keep in mind what the apostle is saying and what he is not saying. This is not 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the apostle is addressing a specific sexual matter. As he concludes, he writes, purge the evil person from among you. In other words, that's the step of excommunication. You're going to pronounce that that person is not a believer because of what they've done. That's not what the apostle is saying in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14. He writes, have nothing to do with him that he may be ashamed, but at the end of verse 15, he declares him a brother. So what does the apostle mean? At the beginning of verse 14, he gives instructions what they are to obey. What they are to obey is what is written in this letter. What is the letter? The letter is God's word. That means they are to, as believers, as brothers in the Lord, to obey and do what God's word commands. And if someone isn't, take note of them. That means recognize what they are doing. recognize that they are falling away and have nothing to do with what they are doing. You see, Paul isn't giving us a command for excommunication. The Apostle Paul in this verse is giving a command for believers as to how they must respond to the person who's falling away. You see a believer who's falling away, who's growing weary in their obedience, whose life is now beginning to look like the unbeliever's life instead of the believer who's in the church. What do you do? Well, first of all, Paul says, stay away from their behavior. Have nothing to do with the way they're living. Don't think that you can join them or go with them and somehow be involved with them and it's not going to affect you as well. No, as a believer, you take your stand. You say, I don't participate in that kind of activity. I am not involved as a believer in doing those kinds of things because I have God's word as my standard and my life is to please Him and not the world. But why? What is the purpose of that? To show that you're better? Look at the last part of verse 14. That he may be ashamed. You see, when the believer walks away from sinful activity and the other believer engages in it, and he knows that the faithful believer has left it behind and is not going to be involved because they are a Christian, there is shame. They are ashamed because they know they shouldn't be doing it too. They are ashamed because they should know that they belong to the body of Christ. And as a member of the body of Christ, they aren't involved or should not be involved in that kind of activity. And because they know that, when the believer does not engage in that activity and stands for the word of God, they are ashamed for what they've done. Well, then what do? Just walk away? Leave them behind? Don't pay attention to them? Don't talk to them again? Verse 15. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. They aren't being excommunicated by what they've done. Paul is not saying that because someone does that or slips into a disorderly behavior that somehow they're not a Christian anymore right away. The apostle is establishing a process. He's reminding them that yes, even though they have done that, they are still a brother. Don't regard them as an enemy, but your duty is not only to walk away, but to warn them. You see, the Apostle Paul is picking up on the language of Matthew 18. Our Lord's instructions in Matthew 18 are instructions as to how to confront someone, a brother, who's falling into sin. He writes, our Lord speaks in Matthew 18, verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you and you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen, tell it to the church. So there's a process involved. You don't find out something about somebody and that they're doing and then go immediately to the elders. There's a process being established in Matthew 18, and the Apostle Paul is picking up and expanding on that process. You know of a fellow believer who may be falling into sin and growing weary in doing what is right. The first thing you do is you don't do it with them. You walk away and have nothing to do with their ungodly behavior. The second thing Paul reminds us of, Jesus has already established in Matthew 18. Now he picks up on that. Do not regard them as an enemy, but go to warn them as a brother. If they don't respond, our Lord gives further instructions. Take another person along with you. If they still don't respond, tell it to the church. That's the ordained means that Paul is describing for us from God's word in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So as we look at these verses, we can see that the apostle is not simply repeating what he has previously established in the chapter, but instead he is dealing with another broader issue. The instructions in verses 6 through 12 are how to deal specifically with the person who is struggling with idleness. Now, as Paul concludes this chapter or this part of the letter, he now comes to all the brothers. He gives instruction for them in a general way, considering what they know and what they struggle with concerning doing what is right in a culture which does not believe in God. Then he gives instructions to them how they must respond or deal with the person who's falling away. But we must remember, as the apostle has established these things, that in the first part of this chapter, he has carefully reminded us who enables us to have the power to change. You see, in verse 3, the apostle writes, "But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command." You see, before he speaks to them concerning the commands, before he writes to them concerning what they must do, he has previously established his confidence that God is at work in them, that they will accomplish and leave behind these struggles and temptations they have because of their love for God and their steadfastness in Christ. His confidence is in the fact that they belong to Christ. And because they belong to Christ, they should not engage in drunkenness because our Lord never became drunk. They should not engage in sinful language because our Lord never used such words. They should not engage in ungodly behavior because our Lord was faithful and did good in every way. And so, when a brother falls and you know of it, you have confidence in the Lord that if that person truly knows the Lord, your warning will be taken seriously. You, in the strength of God, will not join them in that behavior, but warn them carefully. And as you warn them, you have confidence in God that He will work in them. He will bring about change. His Spirit will convict their hearts and bring them back and restore them fully as a brother. May God give us confidence. May God give us strength and the will to live a life of righteousness and to think of our fellow brothers and sisters who need the body of Christ for accountability and for strength. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this text which speaks to us concerning our obligations as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the apostle and his instructions, for we know that as he wrote this letter, he wrote to people who were living in a world of ungodliness. Lord, we know and recognize that we too live in such a world. We recognize that as we are engaged in this culture, there are many who do not love you. There are many who seek to live a life which is not pleasing to you and then justify their unrighteousness. Enable us as believers to not grow weary in doing good. Work in us by your Spirit so that we will be enabled to be faithful to you through whatever temptations come our way. enable us as believers to stay away from sinful activity. Work in us as we speak to our fellow brothers and sisters who may be falling away. Give us courage to instruct them and guide them and remind them of who they are in Christ and what it means to live for Him. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now sing together of our faithfulness to Christ, our devotion to Him.